All right, folks, I'm joined once again with Rob Cunningham and Jimmy Valley. We're going to be talking about the financial system that's going to be coming, correct? I mean, the new financial, where the tide is turning, the trajectory where we're going, all the distractions that are happening, taking our eyes out, trying to take our eyes off the ball. I noticed the whole alien thing happened right after that infamous list came out, and so much more. But you're saying no. Let's keep our eyes on the financial stuff, right, Rob?
Yes, sir.
Before we get into that, I like to talk about gold and silver, folks. Global financial storms might be raging, but thousands of investors in precious metals with Noble Gold Investments are smiling. So they know that whatever happens, their investments will be safe from the turmoil. Protect your savings from the market with Noble Gold Investments IRA and claim your free gold bullion coin. Take a Noble Gold Investments talk to a Noble Gold expert today, and they'll talk you through the options. And if you qualify, they'll guide you through the whole process, folks. So call 877-646-5347 today and take control of your financial future, or visit NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com now. I'm big onto gold, but I think we're going to hear something different today with everything that's happening with the, crypto, right? I mean, are we going to be talking about XRP, Ripple, things of that nature? I mean, where this whole system's going. I've been told to buckle down and get gold and silver. That's a safe bet right now. But you guys are saying it's still good, but
it's all of the above.
It's all of the above. So who wants to take the floor from here? You want to start with Rob? Go ahead, Rob.
Well, first of all, David, thank you for having us, brother. It's amazing to be your friend, and I'm grateful for our friendship and you're letting me have access to your customer, your clients, and your fans. You've earned it. Okay.
Welcome.
Jimmy is one of the smartest, learnest, great friends that I've met in the last year. He's been an M&A attorney. He has helped with the Continental United Airlines merger. He's a man of amazing accomplishment in many fields, oil and gas industry, aviation industry, mergers and acquisitions. And he's even led a team, David, that has made proposals to the Federal Reserve for the next generation monetary system. And I want to just set that up for your audience so you'll understand. We're talking about a managing partner of a major law firm, okay? A man that knows business, that knows monetary systems, that knows negotiations at the highest level, okay? And what we're going to bring to you and your audience tonight, today is, what's really going on? What makes the world go round? Money.
This whole thing is about controlling the system, right? Where we go next. The great reset or great reset, correct?
Absolutely. Correct. 100%, David. And the point of the matter is normally the story, there's always a story behind the story. And all the look over here distractions are usually all set up, and all of these little false flags and all these little side fires are all so that we get your attention over here and you don't look over here, because what's going on over here is what they really don't want you to know about. So before we get into the nuts and bolts, and we want to tabletop this so that it is utterly, undeniably simple for anybody and everybody to understand what this whole last 4 years has been about. Okay. So Jimmy, you want to say hi to the audience?
Sure. Well, Nino, I want to thank you for having me on as well. I've been a fan of yours for quite some time. And it was in 2020 watching some interviews that you were doing before you even had a show that really awakened me to some pretty significant things that were going on.
And look where we're at now.
Look at where we're at now.
Aliens at the mall.
Aliens at the mall.
I mean, get them on.
Well, they did say that the last thing they would throw at us was the aliens, right?
Exactly.
That's good news. That's good news.
So I'll let you guys take the floor. If I turn the camera off and on, I'm going to be still here. I haven't eaten. I just did a 2-hour marathon with Juan. Yep. So, you know, I got to fit in some food here. So let's get started here. Who wants to start? Because I know that all these distractions that are being played out right now, they're trying to take our eyes off the ball onto things that I believe. I think it could be hologram technology. I don't know. I've yet to see anything to convince me otherwise. So You know, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this. This is going to just pick up speed like we've never seen. This year is going to be one for the books.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It absolutely is. Well, I'll do this. I'll play the co-host here. I'll be the Vanna White and turn some numbers and let Jimmy answer the questions and make his best guesses. How about that? So Jimmy, we talked a little bit before we got on the call here. What I understand is you're updating maybe as of today on the blockchain for immutability purposes, for the world to always preserve and know and be able to look at a timeline of events that tells a commonsensical story to anyone that will just look at the timeline and connect common sense dots. Could you give the audience your common sense executive summary of what is on that timeline and what it says to you?
Yeah. Let me give you a little background of how we even came to be doing a timeline. In 2021, as everybody knows, who knows Valhill, we were following very closely the SEC lawsuit against Ripple. And one of the things that we were waiting on at that time, Empower Oversight had made a FOIA request for the emails that went around internally at the SEC that basically led up to something that we call this Ethereum Free Pass speech that was given by the, at the time, Director of Corporation Finance, a guy named Bill Hinman, who was at the SEC. When those emails finally came out, they were when they responded to Empower Oversight's FOIA request, they were substantially redacted. But what we did have was kind of the names and the dates and times that the various emails were sent around. So in kind of classic law firm associate type of you know, work, we put a chronology together of the emails, and we basically started with the first one and basically started figuring it out. And they would have maybe something in the subject line, maybe they'd have something in the subject matter of the email itself, but it was very substantial. Probably 90% of them were redacted, but when you put them in this chronology, they told a very clear story that Bill Hinman had come, he had gotten his confidants within the SEC. He said, we're going to do a speech where we basically let Ethereum go free. I think at that time they were even calling it the Ethereum speech. So basically we put these emails in order and it told us that story. And then we basically said, well, we've got to start digging further and putting more meat onto the bones. We kind of had a structure, a skeletal structure, if you will. And as we started to put meat on the bone, this story went all the way back. I mean, we've got it all the way. This timeline that we're talking about goes all the way back to 2004 and brings you through everything that happened.
Are you going to want to share the screen?
I don't think so. I'll just send it to you, Nino. And if you want to publish it with the video, that's fine. But I'm just taking people through kind of what we learned and what that led us to do. So yes, we you know, ended up putting together a very comprehensive timeline. John Deaton, who the XRP community is very familiar with, had another version of the timeline as well, that we were able to take a lot of things off his timeline and be putting that into this kind of more comprehensive one. And the story was basically one of that the financial system was going to change, that there were people within our government, certainly in the financial parts of our government, so the Federal Reserve, the SEC, the OCC, you know, branches of that, agencies of that nature, who are more financially overseeing the financial system, were aware that this was going to come, and they basically worked in partnership with certain participants in the private markets to try to front run the system.
Foreign and domestic private markets.
Yes. And so the macro is that we are switching to a digital financial system, right? That is the evolution of humanity as we're now going digital. There's a lot of different factions in the world who want to control that. And I ultimately think that they're not going to be successful. Some of them who were really trying everything to try to control it. But what they were able to do in this past, call it decade of time, is to substantially front run it and use their resources to put a lot of confusion into the market and the way people think about digital assets and virtual currencies. They were able to launder a ton of money and they were able to reap profits on inside information based on tips they had that came straight from our government. So the reason we're even talking about this now is because we have to commend Fox Business. They're starting to look into this story very heavily. Charles Gasparino, Eleanor Terrett at Fox Business are really doing a great job of digging into this story. They'll probably end up winning Pulitzer Prizes when this is all comes up. There's also influencers in the XRP community like Crypto Airy, who've brought a lot of attention to this story. Digital Asset Investor, Digital Perspectives. You know, these are some of the leaders of that sector who've been all over this story for years. And you know, it hasn't really been covered by the mainstream, like a lot of things we're experiencing.
And Jimmy, let's stop right there just for a quick recap, okay? To bring this down, Nino, and make it as simple as we possibly can. First of all, I don't want the idea that Jimmy just shared, this truth that we're transitioning to a digital system, to scare anybody or make them stop and think, oh my God, we don't want that. Because the media has done a phenomenal job making people think digital equals CBDC. Or digital equals
yeah, that's bad. What I think.
Right. Well, you know, today, 97% of every transaction in the world is digital. And it has been. PayPal, Zelle, wire transfer, money, direct deposit.
So we're already there.
97% digital today, everybody. So please leave that in your mind so that when we go from digital system A to digital system B, it's like we're going from almost a Neanderthal blockbuster system with basic crude technology to a high bandwidth, super fast Netflix type system. Okay. 3% or so currency, physical paper and coinage and gold coins and silver coins. That's not going to change. The question is the thing that's happening, David,
who
is
controls it?
The architectural system is changing. They're cutting out all the layers of bureaucracy and fat and regulation and profiteering and money laundering and dark secret alleyways and things that we can't see. And it's David, this is another more critical thing that I know we're going to get into here some more. But the current system is owned by about four or five major global banks. Private for-profit banks own the architectural system today. The new digital system is going to be public domain, decentralized. No nation and no corporation is going to own the digital infrastructure. So we're going from ownership of a digital system that's terrible to public domain, public benefit of a digital system.
And this will be worldwide. How does the BRICS nations fit into this? How do we fit into this? How is this going to overtake? I mean, so I'm kind of confused by that because I think that this entire war is all about right here.
It is. Jimmy, do you mind if I answer that real quick?
No.
Okay.
I have some thoughts as well, but
yeah,
you go ahead.
Yeah. And I want to hear yours as well. But confusion is the end goal of the incumbents. Okay. It's the days and confuses. And, you know, there's one common denominator that all these BRICS nations and all these folks want more than anything. We don't have to agree on politics. We don't have to agree on religion or faith or governance or budgeting. But what we do want is the boot off of our neck. We don't want these 195 countries in the world do not want Klaus Schwab dictating our policy, our beliefs, our diet, our travel habits, our spending, don't want them scaring us to death. Tell us what we can and can't do. Micromanaging our kitchen table budgets. There's not a country in the world. There's not a, no one wants that boot on the neck. The common driving force to go from centralization to decentralization is to take that global boot off the neck of all the countries. That's why we have BRICS. That's why we have now BRICS 10. That's why we have a de-dollarization. What does de-dollarization means? Back me out away from the Bank for International Settlements. Back me out of the SWIFT sanctioning ability for the moral leaders in Washington, D.C. to flip a switch and just sanction our money if they don't like what we're doing. If we don't take a knee and listen to the our betters in Washington, D.C., the money system gets cut off. These countries, all of a sudden, the light switch goes out and they can't do business because we made a politician in Washington, D.C. mad. So we're going from that system to a decentralized system where there's not going to be a single anointed world reserve currency megalomaniac group of assholes.
So let me jump in there. Let me jump in there. So when we had the last reset, it was coming out of World War II, right? And we had this Bretton Woods agreement where the countries of the world basically decided America had won the war. They were going to, their currency was going to be the world reserve currency. At that time, there was a very famous economist named John Maynard Keynes who put forth this concept that we really need to have a currency for the world reserve currency that isn't a national currency. And it's because of this thing called the Triffin dilemma. And it's pretty obvious for us to see this now since the US dollar has been the world reserve currency for so long. But the dilemma is that if you use one nation's currency as the world reserve currency, their international interests ultimately end up conflicting with their domestic interests. In other words, to put the boot on countries around the world and sanction them and get them to do what you want to do, basically at some point is contrary to what's good for your people. And that's called the dilemma. Every currency that is a national currency that becomes the world reserve currency ends up ending in this same thing. So what is happening with BRICS is they're smart enough to realize we don't want to go back and end up in the same situation with the Chinese yuan or the Russian ruble. And end up in the exact same position by using one of our national currencies as a world reserve currency. So if we could find up with some other unit of measure to be passing back and forth where we could actually use our own national currencies in commerce, and the sellers or the suppliers of the world can get their own national currencies in return, that's nirvana. And so that's where this kind of new digital infrastructure and having, you know, digital assets that are interoperable across these networks really starts to make a lot of sense.
So my question would be, and I'm sure a lot of my audience, you know, what I'm doing right now is I'm investing in gold and silver just until we get into this time of transformation or whatever, a transition, I should say. What do you suggest? What do people do with their money right now? Do they hold on to it? Do they buy gold and silver until we get to that point? Do they dive into XRP? What are you suggesting people do? Because everyone's kind of like in a holding pattern right now. No one really knows what to do.
Yep. They're in a holding pattern. The global financial system's locking up, right? It's freezing up. There's lack of liquidity. No one can get loans anymore. Banks are all acting super weird, trying to grab as much cash as they can in deposits. I know you know about bail-ins and all that kind of threat that could come down the road. Gold and silver are good investments because they're going to hold their value. They're real assets. They are real precious metals. And we subscribe to the theory that we are going back to a hard asset, sound money standard, a gold standard. And whether that's going to be just precious metals, so gold and silver, or is that going to be a basket of commodities that includes things like oil and natural gas, is yet to be seen, but we do believe that we're going to go back, and BRICS is already moving back to the gold standard. So we believe that what will happen here, and we don't think it's going to happen very long, there will be massive hyperinflation of the US dollar. Those dollars are going to come home because we'll be the only ones, Americans will be the only ones still transacting in dollars. So all that's going to come home very quickly. We'll have some hyperinflation until rabbit comes out of the hat. Oh, we're going back on the gold standard too. And that's what's going to happen.
Will we
I
still
think
have
once it,
the Federal Reserve will just be gone, correct? I mean,
the Federal Reserve is gone. We're back to the Republic, and you know.
and that'll be a gold-backed note. Will we have a
that
still
is
have
it.
paper money?
Bingo. What you're saying, see, what Jimmy just said is what's going to happen, what's going to come flying back is what we call the dollar, but it's really Federal Reserve notes. Those are
Correct.
what's going to come flying back. David, when we switch from Federal Reserve notes, which no one else in the country in the world is going to want to take, and Americans aren't going to want it either because it's going to be worthless paper because it's going to get inflated, then we're going to switch to a gold-based monetary system where there's a U.S. Treasury issuing U.S. dollars, not a Federal Reserve issuing Federal Reserve notes. What they the system has been calling the Federal Reserve paper product U.S. dollars for 50 or 70, 80 years, and we're used to calling it the dollar. It's kind of a slang term. It's not a dollar. It's a Federal Reserve note. That's what's going to inflate. That's what's going to become totally undesirable. And then we're going to have to, as an independent nation, if we're going to want to survive and we're going to want to buy Toyotas and computer chips and Levi jeans and semiconductors, these manufacturers are going to demand that we give them something of value, and it won't be a Federal Reserve note.
So where does XRP come into this?
Aha. Let me
Yeah,
hit
great.
Jimmy, let me hit this real quick.
Go
As
ahead.
table top, and then I'm going to let Jimmy take the floor because he's got the timeline and the details matter. But in a nutshell, David, so your people can understand this, let's assume that there's the David coin and the Jimmy coin and the Rob coin. Okay. And I want to send money to you, and then you're going to turn around and send it to Jimmy. But I don't want to hold the David coin, and you don't want to hold the Jimmy coin, and Jimmy doesn't want to hold the Rob and the David coin. XRP is a technology, a patented technology that basically distributed ledger technology, and this concept was patented back in like 2007 or 8. Okay. And distributed ledger technology allows me to transfer the Rob coin to you, and it can
Instantaneously.
become an instantaneous settlement, no middleman. And if you want to hold the Rob coin, you can hold it. If you want to hold the David coin, you can hold it into a David coin. You can hold it and transfer it into a Jimmy coin if you like the Jimmy coin. Okay.
And who
But
wouldn't?
and who wouldn't? I mean, look at that mug. I mean, everybody wants a Jimmy coin, you know? So the point is if I want to hold gold, and I want to hold tokenized gold, and I take a Argentine dollar, and I immediately want that dollar that you gave me to be gold. It can be gold like that. That's called
So it's cutting out the middleman completely and.
cutting out all of the fat in the middle, man. And it makes it's kind of like that commercial, have it your way. However you want to hold the money and however you want to receive income, if you want to convert US dollars to gold tokens or rubles or pesos, almost nothing. There are stories out there, Jimmy, of people sending $300 million, you know, from point A to point B, investment bankers moving money around from point to point for 30 cents. It cost them 30 cents and it was
So
done like that.
the way to think about this, the way your audience should think, even right now with fiat currencies, it's like we've got a Mexican network talking to a US network, right? And the way they make those talk to each other right now is Mexico says, here, US, I'm going to park enough pesos over in the US and you park enough dollars over here so that when we settle up every night, we can just draw down from that account. We'll always make sure that there's enough in these accounts to make sure that we can communicate to each other, right? So that's called this concept of interoperability, but the way it's done now is through these Nostro Vostro accounts, which I know you and Rob have talked about on your show. So we're talking about there's over $30 trillion in these Nostro Vostro accounts that are just parked all over the world just for these financial transactions to be able to settle every night. What XRP does and the XRP ledger, it basically replaces that whole network and allows the new digital peso network to talk to the digital dollar network in 3 to 5 seconds at basically no cost. It's a fraction of a penny to move
And this
a.
is what they're trying to stall.
And this is what they're trying to stall.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
the reason is
Where
for
does
the middleman.
Bitcoin fit into all this?
Well, Bitcoin is going to be, it's going to be the Kleenex, right? It's the name, you know, it's what we were all trained on for digital currencies. But and I know there's a lot of Bitcoin, you know, fans out there. We're fans of Bitcoin, but it is not scalable or technologically capable to actually manage the entire global financial system.
And XRP is.
XRP is.
Hey,
And
David, think of this.
if you've used either one, if you put the Pepsi challenged on both of them,
What about
it's.
all the other cryptocurrencies, Ethereum and Doge? And I mean, there's so many, I can't even keep track. They're
Well,
all just, they're gonna, the only one you're talking about here is XRP. That's gonna be the one because it's stable.
we don't think that there will only be XRP. We think that there
Okay.
will be a handful of other tokens that survive and become part of the global distributed ledger system. XRP will be a big one, and it's just because it's so far ahead of a lot of the other projects have come on. They've already got the relationships with all the, you know, existing legacy banking infrastructure. They've already done the pilot test. This stuff's been going on for over a decade
They
now.
have over 1,000 members on their team of some of the top, basically, most brilliant minds. There's not another real entity that I know of. Maybe Jimmy, you can correct me. There's not a global 1,000 plus person employee team of hitters like Ripple has. They've been doing this for 10 years. And David, there's an international standards organization. It's a global. It's called ISO. Okay, the ISO 20022 standards have looked at and are looking at about eight projects. Okay, Ripple, Stellar, HBAR, Algo. There's about eight projects, and they meet the highest level of standardization and scrutiny. And the question, David, is about utility. XRP cannot do everything for everybody in the financial system. It doesn't do, there's going to be companies that do smart contracts. There's going to be things that work on the small and retail, medium-sized business payments back and forth at the Zelle level, if you will. Okay. The big cross-border payments, the massive monies that go back and forth between continents and Fortune 500 companies and big international monetary flows, the derivatives market, the commercial real estate, the bond market, big, massive money flows like that is what XRP is designed to be a utility player for. And there's going to be other projects that Ripple's not even going to touch. Ripple won't have anything to do with it. So this isn't one or none, but what it is, think about this, David, follow the money, right? As goes the US monetary system, so goes the world, because we're the world reserve currency and have been for 80 years.
And not
If we
anymore,
must,
but
if not more, if we met
no, but I'm
since
saying
19,
not anymore.
not
Not
anymore.
anymore.
That's correct.
Not exactly correct. Not anymore. It's shutting down. And so all of that concentrated power of those private bank financiers that have owned that legacy system since 1913, 110 years, is going away, and they're doing everything in their power to scare the hell out of everybody and direct everybody towards the platform that they think they can control next. And so, if you think that, what's the old Jesse James said, why do you rob banks? Because that's where all the money is. Why is the SEC and all these regulatory bodies lying their asses off, spending $200 million to sue Ripple? Have all of these influencers go out and say Ripple's a shit coin and stay away from that XRP unless there's a motive involved, right? Why do they start rob the bank? Because that's where all the money is. Why do they talk crap about a project that's designed to build the next infrastructure? Because it's all their money away.
Do you think FTX was a scare tactic?
Yes.
Oh, that was beyond, it was beyond a scare attack.
It was a modern day panic.
Yeah, it's the one of the greatest, official laundering operations in the history of the world, right?
But it didn't succeed, I don't think.
No, it succeeded. It
You think
succeeded.
so?
100% it succeeded. It gave them well, I mean, this is public, right? That they've just dropped. They're not going to have the second trial against Sam Bankman-Fried for basically all the politicians that were paid. So these are, I mean, think about this. They set up an operation in the Bahamas, so outside the United States, where they basically took customer deposits of crypto and basically paid donations. That's as far as I'm going to go, but they're dropping it, right? So that was very successful. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars went to names in
To do what they
agencies
did, to
to
do
do
what
what
they
they did,
did.
to do what they
So,
did. It
and Nino, it's
was very
very,
successful.
and then, but they were trying to put regulations and stipulations on controlling the crypto market, correct? By doing this.
Yeah, and then it succeeded again. Then they got to use it as their narrative to basically bring down crushing regulations on what should otherwise be a free market to compete, so that we know which of these tokens are actually the best, which these networks actually works the best.
Look, Nino, the government is not software engineers. They're not real adept at user interface and creating the latest and greatest technology. They're great at stealing it and buying it and using the military to take it over, but they're not designers. They don't have the software engineers and they don't do the modern day innovation of glitz and glamour. Here's an important point for people to understand, and I'll say this as cleanly as I can. The boys in the Bahamas, the kids in the Bahamas that created this out of whole cloth, this $60 billion operation called FTX, they didn't have a board of directors. They didn't have the jurisdiction of the United States. They were playing footsies with the SEC chairman, who they there are dot 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 connections to you know what island is close to the Bahamas, don't you? So there's some influence there. Okay. We're doing footsies with politicians and the SEC regulator. And we're going over to that little country that Russia was fighting, and they're soaking up money over there and stealing money from famous celebrities into Washington, D.C. And the very week after the 2022 voting, boom, it collapses and goes away. There's no there. There's no board of director. The founder gets. Now, it just so happens that the founder, Sam Bankman-Fried's girlfriend, her daddy was an MIT professor with the chairman of the SEC, Gary Gensler, who's suing Ripple and spent who had to spend over $200 million to defend itself against the SEC chairman who went to school with Sam Bankman-Fried's girlfriend's daddy. I mean, this whole and Mr. Gensler, Mr. Burns, as we like to call him in the XRP community, Mr. Burns happened to be the CFO for someone that ran for president against Mr. T,
Got you.
who wrote the checks for the dossier to try to create the false narrative about Mr. T.
Got you.
So when you start to follow the money and connect the dots, it smells to high heavens.
When do you guys see this transpiring? I mean, obviously this year is going to be a big year, but we're already seeing banks fail. What that all has to happen first, correct? Before this big switcheroo happens, but it's about who's going to control the switcheroo.
Who's going to control the switcheroo? So that's one of the reasons, Fox is doing this really important work of starting to, disclose and surface. You had mentioned Ethereum. There's something that's very commonly known in our marketplace that's called ETH Gate, which is these forces, the same forces that were pulling strings over at FTX, are basically pulling strings within the Ethereum ecosystem.
Allegedly, allegedly,
But the press, I
for
mean,
YouTube reasons.
they've bragged about it. I mean, they've flat out bragged about their connections with people that we won't mention on this show. This type of thing to get into the public consciousness and for people to be aware that this is what's really going on is really all that needs to happen for the flip to occur, for the switch to occur.
This is
Think
amazing
about
stuff.
David.
I go ahead.
David, think about this. Why do you think 24/7, 365, there's been such hatred and animosity towards a person, unless the way they wanted to redesign the world's financial system was very different than the way the system, the matrix, wanted to keep the world's financial system. If there was only one difference, if Mr. T wasn't owned by the left, the right, and had his own ideas of maybe how this thing needed to be done, and 10 days into office, he signed an executive order saying, this is how we're going to do it. These are the seven principles. The matrix didn't like those seven principles. And they knew coming in, he was going to do something that they didn't have any leverage over him, or he wasn't owned by and couldn't be forced at the point of a gun to re-engineer the system so they could continue to maintain global control. Okay. So it was get rid of him or we lose the whole shooting match. That's basically,
yeah.
I mean, I told people all the time, he could have cured diabetes and AIDS and cancer and blindness and everything in the world on a weekend, and the press and the media would have still gone after him because those were the orders that the press and the media had. Take him out.
And it's ramping up again as we go into November 2024. This is amazing stuff. I'm going to go ahead and – you got to help me think of a title for this one, Rob. And I just want to thank you both for joining me. Is there anything else you want to end on,
Jimmy?
I don't think so. Just want to thank you for giving us the time to tell this part of the story. I think we got some good days ahead as people start to awaken to this piece.
The best days are ahead.
And David, 100%. I want to thank, you know what, you're a decentralized journalist, okay? And so am I. And there's an XRP army out there. There are thousands of decentralized journalists that have been doing what you've been doing in this vertical for 8-10 years. A lot of them got started maybe 5 years ago. But there is an army in every country around the world, the XRP army strong, sees what's going on, understand what needs to happen. They're seeing the press censorship and the press omission of truth. I mean, a lie of omission is still a lie,
yeah.
Right? And the only way we're getting this information out to counter the false narratives or the silence is with guys like you and me and Jimmy, okay? And I just want to thank them because, my Lord, this is you talk about it takes a village, Jimmy, does it take a village? You know, I mean, but you know what? Truth cannot be killed. You know, it can't. They can try to hide it. They can try to call it names. They can try to intimidate us to shut up and not talk about it. But truth is truth and you can't get rid of it. And math is math. Math is math.
You know? Send me a couple texts on what titles you want me to name this. I got a J6 roundtable right now, but I want to say thank you to both gentlemen here. And I really appreciate you coming on board. So folks, XRP, is that the answer? I guess we wait and see. I take this very serious, what you guys brought to the table. So, I do invest in XRP as well. So, I'm diversifying everything. I'm playing it all. But XRP is a big one for me.
Well, and let me close it at this. You ask about gold, Nino, gold is wealth. It represents value. It's real. It's 2,000 plus years old. Gold equals wealth. These crypto projects like Jimmy and I like XRP, it's a stock. It's an investment. It's a risk. It is a, we believe it's going to be like the next it. Okay. So it's going to facilitate the movement of stocks and bonds and derivatives and currencies and gold and silver, but gold and silver won't deflate. And like the Weimar Republic, when you had to have a wheelbarrow full of the currencies, gold will never do that. If we go into hyperinflation, guess what? Gold is going to go up. It's just Jimmy and I, with our risk tolerance, we don't think gold will go up 100x, but we think XRP will. That's just us. That's okay. Just us personally.
Fair enough. Okay. That's fair enough.
Okay.
All right, guys. I'm out. I got to jump on another podcast. Thank you so much for joining me, both of you. God bless. Enjoyed it. Take care. I'll talk to you right now, Rob.
Thank you.